Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
You don't need good ideas. What are you good at? What has God gifted you at? What's your skill set? He skilled this church at something. What is it? Lift up the anchor, fill the sails, and head out there. It's messy. It's dangerous. And it jettisons.
There's a growth curve that's about to be broken through in this next season. And it's going to require some new thinking from you guys. Either into that school or as a result of that school.
Yeah.
And that you're to start investing some funding around like teachers or people. Carers is the phrase I get actually. And I feel like there's something about investing finance into that in this next season, because God is going to favor that, and there's going to be like a opportunity for evangelistic favor because of that, because of the influx of different kinds of communities and different people into the school. Parents are going to find out about you. That will gather young mums and young families because they just don't know where else to go. And I feel like the Lord's saying it's time. It's time for you to get that, because it's going to serve the community as an alternative to the kind of cultural wokeness that you've seen. Yeah. That it will actually bring wholeness to people.
On April 12th, we are going to do something together. I would ask that on the evening of April 12th, you'd make every effort you can to be there. We're going to meet in the 129 building. If we don't fit, we'll figure something out. And what we're going to do is, I'm asking you right now, between now and then, be praying. God, show me what to do. Give me ideas from heaven. Show me what this could look like, how I can help. We can't do 43 things. We do one or two things. So we need to actually talk through what we're seeing, look for what the Holy Spirit's doing, pray into it, and do those things. Doesn't mean they're the only things, but they're the first few steps. What are they? We need you.
Amen. Well, that's a perfect intro to what I want to say. I just want to make one quick announcement and then introduce someone. Last Sunday, who was here last Sunday? That's a whole groups of you. We had a powerful message that Guy delivered, and it had to do with the two prophetic words that we just heard, and I want to talk about that in just a second. Coming in May is a gentleman, that the last man that we heard, Julian Adams. He's South African. Did he sound kind of funny? Well, when he comes, don't tell him. We'll just let him think it sounds just like us. I've known Julian Adams for several years, and I've known him prior. He worked with a ministry group in England that I was very close with. Julian Adams and his wife planted a church in Boston, Massachusetts, just before COVID, perfect time. And Julian is, as I said, he is South African. They started this church. And Julian has a dynamic, amazing, prophetic gifting. If you, maybe you're newish to this church or whatever, what's a prophetic gifting? He has an ability to hear what God is saying and then says it. Super simple. Here's what God is saying and says it. Julian actually came here January of 2019 on a Sunday night, and it was probably 75 to 100 people here. That might be too many, but 75-ish. And he just began speaking out prophetic words that were amazing, incredible, accurate, and I'm not going to go into it, but he had a profound impact on a few families in this church probably 4 years ago. And then 2.5 years ago-ish, I was on a Zoom call with Julian Adams and several other leaders, and there was a couple that we work with in Afghanistan. And Julian just began speaking to this couple and said, there's going to be an overthrow of the government in the next 6 months. Nobody's going to see it coming, but get ready and prepare yourself for what's going to happen in Afghanistan. And that was probably February. And in August, many of you who may maybe follow news, our country was surprised, shocked. It was exodus of, I think, 125,000 people out of Afghanistan almost exactly 6 months after Julian prophesied it. So I know him. I have a relationship with him. We have people in this church, or children of people who have worked with Julian and just see the dynamic of his ministry. Well, he's coming here on the weekend of May 6th and 7th. May 6th is a Saturday, and we're going to have a workshop, if you will, but he's going to minister from 9 to 3 on May 6th. And he's been in several of the Life Streams churches, which is the group of churches that we minister with and work with. He's been in Chicago in our sister church several times. He's been in our sister church in Bath, England several times. And we've invited him here on Saturday, May 6th, 9 to 3. I would love everybody to be here. And again, it's not a Julian Adams show. It's a Jesus show speaking to us, changing lives, and helping us this church grow in the prophetic. There are lots of people in this church that are prophetic. Many of us have a background in churches that are prophetic, and this is going to be a catalyst and a catapult for this church in going forward. He'll also be speaking here on the Sunday morning, as you see on the graphic. Lunch will be included on the 6th. There's going to be child care, and it's $10 a person. That's going to cover your lunch, and registration begins, what's today? Tomorrow. So you can go online and find that. So I just wanted to mention that. And he is the gentleman that we heard last week, the South African. And one of his prophetic words, he says, I don't, because he hadn't been here, you know, like in 4 or 5 years, and he came at night. He said, but there's like a school to the east of you, and God's going to open up doors. And he didn't know that directly across the street, there's like a school east of us. And that's just kind of the dynamic that he moves in. So I want to encourage everybody's welcome. We would love to have you here. And last Sunday, we heard part of a prophetic word that Julian gave in October to a small group of leaders that were up there, just about what God's going to do, is doing, has been doing here. And then the other audio, as well as the transcript, this was May 5 of 2019, a gentleman named Darren Kassebaum came, and in his message, towards the end of his message, he began prophesying about what God wanted to do with Life Church here, and he kind of compared us to a warship. And this church had been in a safe harbor, and it was time to set sail and go forward. And I think we actually heard a little bit of it this morning. Holy Spirit was going to fill the sails of this church, but it had been moored at the dock, and we needed to lift anchor, and we're going to reach the community. And it was powerful, it was dynamic, and we are just now seeing the fruit of that. Over the last 12 to 18 months, we got a ton of kids coming to our youth group now. Kids are getting saved from public schools and the community. And so they didn't know, Guy didn't know, that actually Darren is going to be speaking this morning. And some of you will know him from church life over the last 30, 40 years. Darren and Monica, I think I saw her earlier. Yes. Monica, could you stand also? I won't have the kids stand. I don't want to embarrass them. But this is Darren and Monica. We have known them for 45 years, but Monica's only 46, so she was an infant when we first met her. Sorry. But they have an anointing and a gifting, and they've had an anointing and a gifting into this body historically, saying what God says. Darren has a teaching gift, and I won't describe any of the other gifts because he would be embarrassed, so we'll just leave it at that. But this week, I met with Darren and just asked him if he would come. He had no idea what we talked about last week with the audio and the transcript, but he has a gifting and anointing for the body of Jesus. So a couple of your children are here. Thank you for coming this morning. Obviously, Mom and Dad are here. So if you could I have Darren come up? Just want to pray for him. I've asked him to share the word this morning. Father, I thank you for this amazing family that you have birthed here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are speaking to us. You are leading us. You're reminding us of things in the past. You're communicating today what you want us to hear today. But Father, you're also leading us into green pasture.
Thank you.
And you're leading us into the community.
Yes,
to take the blessing, the grace, the love, the peace, the care for broken people out there. So I thank you for our friend Darren. I thank you for Monica. I thank you for the blessing that they have been to this body and so many families in this church over the last 30, 40 years. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would give Darren all liberty to say what you're saying. Lord, that we would have ears open, we would have soft hearts to mix, Lord, what you're saying with faith, with the word of God, that we would see an abundant harvest.
Yes, Lord.
So bless this man with courage, with faith, to stretch us, to help us, to encourage us.
Thank
bless
you,
this man in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
So Darren Kastbaum and Jesus.
Thank you, Tom. It is great to be here. It's a privilege to be able to come and speak again. It has been a couple of years since I've been here. So I was telling someone when I walked in, it always feels like we're coming home. Because we know so many here, and we worship the same God, the same Spirit, and so it's just a joy to be here. And it's very encouraging as well to hear the audios that you had up on there. I liked one of them for sure, and the other one was good too. Julian, I'm saying I like that one. That was awesome. But it's encouraging, and I am inspired to hear what you are doing as a church, launching out towards that school, and I'm sure into other regions of this community. And Guy was sharing with me some words that this man Julian has had for this church about young families coming, and that you all are being prepared and getting ready for that. In fact, you're even seeing that happen right now. So that's so exciting to see, because our culture needs it and our community needs that.
Yes.
Our nation is a nation without answers and without moorings right now. But we, the church, have been given to defend the truth, to hold the truth, and to bring the salvation and the light to our communities.
Amen.
And so I just commend you for launching out. And I would just say, go and launch. With that, I do want to back up about 200 years. About 200 years ago, during the Civil War, more or less, there was a man, a northerner, living in the South. And if you're not too familiar with the Civil War, it was when the northern states fought the southern states in the United States, and the southern states were called the Confederacy, right? Man living in the South, and he had accumulated great wealth, a lot of Confederate money, and nearing the end of the war, he had insight that the war would be over in just a couple of months, and so in wisdom, he took the Confederate money, and he kept just enough that he would need to get through a couple of months. And then he transferred the rest of it into U.S. currency. And sure enough, at the end of the war, as he returned north, he had treasures and wealth untold. Why? Because this man had a perspective on the future. And this morning, I just want to take a few minutes and remind us what Jesus has said about living with an eternal perspective, because perspective changes everything. How we view what is going to transpire, it informs how we live. We live based on what we think the future holds, right?
Yes.
At least we should. And we should make decisions on that. And so this morning, I want to remind us of just a few things that Jesus said about living with an eternal perspective. In Matthew chapter 6, it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the greatest teaching that's ever been given by a human man on earth. And right in the middle of it, he makes this amazing statement about living with an eternal perspective. He says this. It's in Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In this simple statement, Jesus makes some profound insights. He gives us, well, if you were in the stock market, he just gave you some insider trading right there.
Yeah.
He let you know where to invest the money.
Yeah.
He said some things are going to happen, and so you ought to invest it here. And he gives us an eternal perspective right there. Just a few takeaways from this. Number one, money is not the kingdom of God.
Right.
Money is not the kingdom of God. However, how we use money and how we use treasure and resource. It is an indication of kingdom things going on the inside.
That's right.
Yes. Money is such a practical manifestation of things that we value in our own life. If we take our life and we work 14 hours a day to gain money, we have a little indication of what we believe about money and what is valuable and what where our security lies and where our identity comes from. Money and how we handle it is an indication of kingdom things going on the inside. A second thing I want to point out is he uses three words here I find interesting. Number one, he uses the word treasure. He said, do not take your treasure and store it up here on the earth. Treasure, what is treasure? Well, to the hearers there, they would have thought of a treasure chest. You know, you open it up. What's in that treasure chest? Money, jewels, precious things. That's what they would have thought of. Now, most of us, if I went to your home, probably, I mean, I'm looking around here. I don't see any crowns on any heads. Well, spiritually I do, but in reality I don't see any crowns. You probably don't have treasure chests in your homes. There's probably no place in your home that you open a chest and there's money and jewels and precious things. However, I am certain that the people in this room have some of the greatest treasures materialistically than any generation has ever had. Yes. Probably most of us have more than one TV in our home. Yeah. Multiple computers, multiple gadgets, multiple telephones, multiple cars. Maybe some of us have multiple homes. And these are the things that we treat as treasures in our day and age. And Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Because he says that they don't last. Yeah. He says the stuff here on earth rusts out. The stuff here on earth, it just give it time. It just breaks down. Yeah. You know, I once had a new home. It's not new any longer. It's amazing. You know, I didn't do anything, but the gutters fell off. How did it fall off? I didn't beat it. And then it creates a water problem and so on and so forth. Things have a way of deteriorating here on the earth. And Jesus says, you are not wise if you invest all your treasure in the things here on the earth. So he said, he mentions this word treasure. He mentions this word, you don't do it because it rusts, it wears out. And he uses this word, store up. Don't store up. Now, I think that's important for this conversation for this reason. Jesus doesn't say, don't have money, don't have possessions, don't have treasure. He didn't say that. Because we need money, right? Yes. We have to take care of our family. The Bible also teaches that it is wise to gather little by little and store it up for a rainy day, to store it up for our latter years in life. The Bible teaches that. Yes. Solomon says, look at the wisdom of the ants. They gather in the summer so that in the winter they got something to live on. And it's wise that in the summer days, in the summer years of our life, we gather so that in the winter years we have something to live on. That's wise, right?
Yes.
The Bible teaches about investing and storing up, or investing and preparing and taking care of our families. And so that's all beautiful. But the word he uses here is store up. That speaks of excess. That speaks of thinking. That speaks of more than what we need. Let me give you a little example. We had Thanksgiving 6 months ago. Have you ever had one of those Thanksgiving meals that's beautiful? You eat the turkey, you eat all the stuff. Man, you're stuffed. It's great. Then it's time to go to your grandma's house. And you walk in. And she's been slaving for 3 days, and there's a turkey, and there's all this stuff, and you're like, I really don't want to eat that. But sometimes you do, yes. All right? Yeah, that's storing up. That's like going above, and that's way beyond what you need, right? And Jesus says, don't store up treasure on earth. Why? Because it rusts, it disappears. You know, my first car I ever bought, it was a 1979 Honda Accord. It was silver. It had this magnificent burgundy vinyl interior. It was awesome in the St. Louis summers. Man, your skin would stick to that. I mean, if you were in an accident, you didn't need a seatbelt. You were stuck to that vinyl, you know. It was awesome. I was so proud of that. It only had rust on the front passenger corner. So if I ever pulled up to church and the girls were standing there, I'd do the driver's side so they didn't see the rust on the passenger side, you know. It got me through college, you know, but at the end of college, I had it towed down to the junkyard. They gave me $75, and then they put it on that machine that goes, But there was a day that was my treasure. Yeah. That was my joy. You know, I worked at Long John Silver a lot to pay for that thing. You know how much grease this body has absorbed for that Honda Accord. That's why I still look so young. It just still oozes out of me. All of that grease. Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Instead, he gives us an eternal perspective by using this term heaven. He says, instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Some of us in the room, we may remember a man named Brent Jones. Once I was in a meeting and he said this. It stuck with me. He said, brothers and sisters, we must learn to discern between the eternal and the temporary. And we must take our resource, our time, our treasure, and our talent, and allocate it accordingly. Invest in the eternal. So I have a prop to drive this point home. And I have to give credit where credit is due. So in 1996, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. It was New Year's Eve. My wife was in Guatemala with our first son. And I saw a man named Winky Pratney. I don't know if you ever heard of that name.
Yes.
So I got this from him. Just giving credit where credit. But it so impacted me. I don't remember if I've done this at this church before, but if I have, please forgive me. It's new? Good. Winky said it was new. Yeah. This is not working so well. In my mind, this was going to be really good. I had it all worked out. I got the little noose last night. All right, let's try that. Okay? This is a timeline, all right? That's the point of this. There we go. This is a timeline, right? Right here. Now, we're going to pretend, and half of you can't see this, but this is a paperclip, right? We're going to pretend that this paperclip on this timeline represents Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, okay? So, there we go. That's a timeline, right? So, creation is somewhere back there, all right? Sorry for the folks over there. You can't quite get the perspective, but I'll do my best. All right, we're going to pretend that this paperclip is today. All right. Now, let's just put it about right here. So if this is 1,000, no, this is 2,000, that's 1,000. So 100 is about that year. All right, I'll put it there. This is today. Sorry if I offend anybody right about now, but let's pretend that this paperclip is our death. All right, so this is today. Sorry, you can't see that. And this is our death. So I'm going to put it about right here. Ready? Let's see. Well, if that's 1,000... 500, 200, okay, that's about 100 years, okay? About 100 years. By the looks of some of it, these two are almost going to be touching, but let me put it right about there, right there. Okay, so that's about that far, right? That's about 30 years, okay? Now, some of the young people back there, they might say, hey, buddy, I'm in my 20s. I got 60 years ahead. All right, let me move this about right there. Okay, that's you. That's 60 years, okay? Some of you got 30, some got 60. I'll give it to you. You got 60, right? Some of us in this room statistically probably have a year or two. And I'm not talking about the old ones. Life happens, unfortunately, and there are tragedies. So this is very appropriate to everybody. Whether you get this much time or this much time, this is very appropriate. Why? Because Jesus was trying to help his disciples understand that we should live with an eternal perspective. And what he said was this. He said, do not take all of your time, all of your talent, and all of your treasure and store it up right here for this little bit of time. Don't do it. Why? Because you can't take it with you. It stays right here. No matter how much wealth we have, no matter what kind of possessions we have, the moment we take our last breath, it is as if everything we have becomes Confederate money to us. Yeah. It is worthless. Amen. And we can't take it with us. Amen. J.D. Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest men who has ever lived, he was one of the first oil tycoons. He said this, I've made millions and millions, and it has brought me no happiness. Yeah. And when he died, at his funeral, someone walked up to his accountant and he says, hey, tell me, I'm wondering how much he had. How much did he leave? And the accountant with a smirk on his face said, well, he left it all.
Yeah.
Yes.
He walked in to eternity at the same position as the homeless person who has nothing. Right. It all stays here. So Jesus said, don't store it up here. Why? Because money is evil? No, because it's stupid. It's a really bad investment. What would we think of the man living in the South with all that Confederate money if all of a sudden we saw him sending it somewhere? We'd be like, dude, why are you getting rid of it all? I only need this much. Why are you hanging on to that, man? You were living in luxury. No, I'm sending it on. We would say, dude, you're an idiot. Why are you doing that? But all of a sudden the war ends and he's got a stockpile of U.S. dollars. We'd be like, hey, he was actually kind of smart. In fact, if he had held on to it, right? And we read the history books, what would we think? What a fool. He even knew the war was going to end in 2 months. But he couldn't part with it. He didn't believe the news reports that it was going to end. He didn't believe that the Confederacy money would become worthless. He didn't believe it. And so he held on to it. And we would say, what a fool. He had insider knowledge and he didn't do it. Eternal perspective shapes how we live. You cannot take it with you. But here's the beautiful thing. Ready for this? And we've all heard that, right? You can't take it with you. But do you know this? You can send it on ahead of you. You can do that. In fact, Jesus didn't just advise it. He commanded it. He said, don't store up here. Store up there. This is eternity, right? So this is 1,000 years from today. This is 2,000 years from today. This is 4,000 years from today. This is 6,000 years. That's 10,000 years from today. When we reach there, eternity isn't really even getting started. We'd have to take this string all the way up to Highway 70, even begin to think about the dimensions of eternity. And Jesus commands us. He says, take your time, talent, and treasure and store it up there where it will. In essence, he says, it lasts forever. He says, it will not rust. Moth ain't going to get it, and no one's going to take it. What he's saying is, it's yours for all eternity.
Yes.
All eternity. And that's the wise thing to do with our life, with our treasure, with our talent, with our time, is to invest it in eternity. This man named Jim Elliot, he was an amazing missionary to Ecuador. And he went down there, he gave his life, they killed him. But before he left, he said this. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to attain what he cannot lose.
That's good.
Beautiful. Yep. Amen. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to attain what he cannot lose. Martin Luther said this. He said, the things that I have tried to hold within my grasp, I have lost. But the things that I have entrusted into the hands of God, I yet possess.
Yes.
Jesus doesn't just advise this, he commands this. I want to give this little statement I heard. Actually, I've altered it a little bit. But wow, it really rocked my world. He said, you know, when it comes to money, the poor, they use money to buy stuff. The middle class use their money to buy things, not assets, but liabilities. Boats and cars and homes and things. Well, not homes. Liabilities. Boats and cars and motorcycles and all these things that tend to go down in value. And usually they take more money just to keep them. He said the wealthy, they invest the money in assets, things that go up in value. Sometimes they even pay you money, like real estate or stocks or things like that. Forget the stock market this past year. Assets. I'd like to add something to that. The wise invest their money in eternal treasure. The wise invest their money at the promptings of the Holy Spirit. As we go through our day, and he says, bless this person. Give that person a tip. Stand with that person. That person needs something. Give it to them. That's wise. That's wisdom. That's what Jesus said to do. He said, don't store up here. Store up there. He commands it. Just a quick word about true riches. Jesus tells this beautiful parable in Luke chapter 16. And he says, those who are entrusted with money, if they're entrusted with a little and they're not faithful, they won't be faithful with much. I've heard people say, yeah, when I really start making the money, then I'll start tithing. No, you won't. If you don't tithe when you make your first 10 bucks, you ain't going to tithe when you make $10 million. Yeah, right. Jesus said, however you treat the little is what you're going to do with the much. Yes. And he says, if a person cannot be faithful and entrusted with human or earthly treasure, they will not be entrusted with true riches. What is true riches? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I want some of that. I want to make sure that I qualify for the true riches. Well, Paul, many years later, teaches us what it is because he's writing a letter to the Ephesian church. And he says, I pray for you often. And do you know what I pray for you? This is Ephesians 1, verse 18. You might have it up there. I don't know. Ephesians 1, 18. He says, I pray that God would enlighten your eyes, that you would know the hope to which you have been called, and that you would know what is the glorious... What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? According to Jesus, true riches are the saints. His inheritance, the thing that he is so excited about, the thing that he gets to inherit is you and me. It's people. People are true riches. And what Jesus was saying, if we cannot be trusted to handle tangible stuff when he tells us what to do with it, we are not going to be entrusted with true riches in the age to come. So I want to encourage you, right? You might be here and you're like, man, you know, I've always wanted to be a leader. I've really wanted to preach the word. I've really wanted to pour into people. I've really wanted to shepherd people. You know what? You still got a shot for all eternity. Because if you got money in your pocket, the way you steward that sets you up for true riches in the age to come.
Yes.
What we do with the physical, tangible treasures that we have has eternal impacts. And the wise person will think accordingly. True riches. Solomon understood this in Proverbs 11:30. He writes this. He says, he who wins souls is wise.
Yes, yes.
He who wins souls is wise. He doesn't say that the commander who wins the battle or the athlete who wins the game, or the businessman who wins the deal is wise. He says, he who actually wins souls is wise. Not he who talks about it, he who thinks about it, he who meditates on it, but the one who actually goes out and engages somebody with the love of Jesus, that person is wise. Why? Because the human soul is the only thing on this earth that is of immortality. It is the only thing that does transfer into the age to come. You can actually take treasure with you. You know what it's called? People.
Yeah.
We can take those with us.
Yes.
And he who engages people with the love of Christ, that person is wise. That person is storing up for themselves treasures in heaven. You might say, well, Darren, you know, I appreciate there being people there and all, but man, I wouldn't mind having me a bucket of gold. I can tell you, for ages to come, when you walk on streets of gold, it won't matter. What will matter is you'll see that person whose eternal destiny would have been damnation, but instead they were with you, walking with the Lord for all eternity. In that moment, you will say, that is true riches.
Yes.
That was worth every penny that I gave to the church. That was worth every penny that I gave to the waitress. That was worth every penny that I invested in the age to come. Those are true riches. I've mentioned this before, but I like it so much I'm going to mention it again. Michelangelo, he was once sculpting, and he took ice and he used it as his object, and he sculpted. It was beautiful. The next day, though, the sun came up and it melted and it was gone. He was wiser when he chose marble as the object of his labors. And for years and years and years, he labored on that marble. And you know what? 1,000 years later, it's still with us. But wiser still is he who selects the human soul as the object of his efforts. Because that human soul will outlast the stars.
Yes.
Maybe you're here today and you're going through a difficult time. You might say, you know, I don't have buckets of treasure. Man, I'm struggling just to keep loving my spouse. Maybe you're here today and you, years ago, gave it all up for the sake of the cross. And today you find yourself here and you think, you know what, was it all worth it? Maybe you're here today and you're a young person and you're looking at your career and you think, man, I could go this way. And there's lots of treasure down that path. Or I could go this way where I really feel the Lord is leading me. But man, it doesn't look like there's much in the way of earthly treasure there. I want to remind you of something. That the Bible says when we take our resource, even if it's our time and our talent, and we invest it into the things that God has called us to do, we are, by the very nature of Christ's promises, laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven. I was speaking with a man many years ago. He had a couple of boys, and he was married, and his wife was ill. And we were talking, and man, he was just going through a tough time. He's like, man, I could be doing so much more. I could be pursuing this dream that I have, and I could be making so much more money running down this path. But I love my wife, and I'm taking care of her, and she needs me. But man, sometimes it just burdens me. I think, man, look at all that I'm giving up to take care of my wife and my sons. They need a lot of attention. I'm pouring all of my attention here. It's costing me the dream that I really want and the finance that could be mine. And I reminded him of this, that our life is but a breath. The Bible says, breathe in and out, and life is over. It goes by that quick. Billy Graham, at the end of his life, was asked, what surprised you the most? You've traveled the world, 7 continents, millions brought to Christ. What has surprised you the most? He said, the brevity. The brevity, like that, it's gone. And I was reminding this man, you're here right now, today. Within 30 years, you will be standing before the Lord. And he's not going to ask you, did you get that dream you were going for? Did you enjoy that recreational thing? How about the money? Did you finally hit the goal you wanted? Did you get that? He ain't going to ask you that. He's going to say, where's your wife and where's your children? Did you take care of my daughter? And your entire eternal entrustment is based upon, were you faithful with what God gave you? Now, all of us in this room, we're given different amounts. Some are given this, some are given this, some are given this. We've been given the most of any generation in the history of humanity.
That's right.
We are loaded. Yes. We've all been given different amounts. And for some of us, storing up treasure will look different than storing up treasure would look for someone else, right? We're all in different situations and walks of life, and that's beautiful. But each of us in our own heart knows when we're having that second turkey dinner. We know. When we're looking at that thing, do I really need that 14th TV so that I have surround TV in my room? Do I really need that? That's probably a turkey dinner. Probably. And the Lord commands you, don't do that. That's just flat out stupid.
Yes.
Invest in the age to come.
Yes.
And so as we reach out to the community, let me encourage you. The wisest thing you can do is show up on April 12th, 6:30, out there, and get together and pray and hear and decide, this is what we're doing. And maybe you can't preach the gospel. Maybe you get nervous talking to people. Okay, can you make coffee? Can you bring donuts? Can you show up and open a door? Can you run the red string around where you're going to quarter off some area for kids or whatever? Everyone in this room can do something. And the wisest thing we can do is invest in people's lives. And sometimes with money. He's given us resource. So if I can just make this really simple. We are here. Most of us only have about this much time left. Maybe you're here and you've invested. You've already done all this. But maybe at this stage of your life, you're questioning it. And you're like, dang, I just want to encourage you. You have stored up for yourself treasure in heaven. Yeah, you might not have the buckets that John down the street does. He decided to put all the treasures here. He's got a whole pile of Confederate money and you got none. True, guilty, but you have stored up treasure in heaven. Amen. I want to encourage you with that. Maybe you're here and you say, shoot, I've been getting this wrong. All right, no condemnation. Repent, metanoia. That simply means change your thinking. And from this day forward, start storing up treasure in heaven. Maybe you're here and you're a young person and you're thinking, should I go this route or that route? Let me just encourage you. There are routes where you can generate a boatload of U.S. dollars and be generous. And for some people, God calls them to that, to generate a lot of resource so that they can be used of God to resource others who are taking the gospel forward. And that is beautiful as well. And that is storing up treasure in heaven. Go for it if God's called you to do that. But what I'm wanting to remind us of is simply this. If you remember nothing else, please just remember this string. Eternal perspective. You only got this much time. Use your resource and pour it into the things of God.
Amen.
I don't know if you need any money to finance whatever you guys are doing out there. It sounds like Julian said you might need to invest. All right, folks, there's a perfect opportunity. Where should I start investing? What should I do? Well, the tithe is a great place to start. Yeah. And then projects like this that are going to reach a community, that's a beautiful place to invest. You will reap 100 times, definitely in the age to come and probably in this age as well. And then as you're going through the street, I was in the license bureau the other day, and there's this sweet old lady. She's up at the counter. She's got a mountain of paperwork, and all she's trying to do is get her driver's license renewed. And I'd been waiting 3 hours. This is one of those days when it's just packed and everybody's got the numbers and it's standing room only in the license bureau. One person working the counter. Tension was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I mean, like, people were just on edge. And this little sweet lady's up there. It's like, is this the card you need? No, ma'am, I need the... No. Is this the card you need? No, I need the... And this lady's getting angry with this sweet old lady. And so finally came time to pay, you know. What should have taken 5 minutes or 20 minutes. And so then she puts in one credit card. The lady says, that was declined. You got another one? Oh, let me. So she pulls up. That was declined. And the lady says, just go home and get a check or something. The little lady's like, well, let me try my debit card. She puts, declined. And people were actually ticked at this woman. They're like, flipping, go home and get your checkbook. No one said that, but everyone was thinking it. And you know, it just took one person to walk up, pull out a credit card. You want to know how much it was? How much is that? $13.50. Here. $13.50. Folks, you don't have to give a million. You just need to be moved by Jesus in the everyday of life. And in doing so, we store up treasure in heaven. It sounds self-serving, doesn't it? Someone might charge me with being very self-serving. I am not. I'm merely reminding you what Jesus said.
Yes.
To store it up here is stupid. To store it up there is wise. Why? Because that lasts forever.
Yes.
And this doesn't. So store it up. Make a wise investment. Now all of us have insider information, and you won't even go to jail over it. You have insider information, action upon it. I encouraged this brother. I said, you only have this much time left. Love your wife. Yeah, it costs you a lot of money. Oh, like you could be doing that, making it, and you could be doing that hobby and you can't. But invest the time there. Because when you stand before the Lord, He's just going to ask you to give an account for what He's entrusted you with. And certainly He's entrusted you with His daughter. And He wants to know, did you take care of my daughter? That's all He wants to know. And based on how faithful we were, determines all of the future. Living with an eternal perspective helps us when we go through difficult times.
Yeah.
It helps us because we keep things in perspective. I want to finish with this. Albert Einstein was once on a train traveling from Princeton. And as they're going along, the ticket man comes down the aisle and he asks for Albert Einstein's ticket. And Dr. Einstein begins looking in his pocket, can't find it. He looks in his pants pocket, he can't find it. Looks in his briefcase, he can't find it. Looks on the chair, he can't find it. And he was stressing out. And the ticket man says, "You know, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. Everybody knows who you are. I'm certain you bought a ticket. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You're good." Albert Einstein looked up with a little smile of gratitude. And the ticket man continued down the aisle. A few minutes later, the ticket man looks back and he sees this great physicist on the floor underneath of his chair, scrambling around looking for the ticket. The ticket man runs back and he says, Dr. Einstein, you don't need a ticket. I know who you are. I'm certain you bought one. Einstein looked up at him and he says, "Young man, I too know who I am. The problem is I don't know where I'm going." I'm grateful that I know who I am and where I'm going. And if you're a follower of Christ, you know where you're going. So trade wisely. Do wise trades. But I want to close speaking to those who maybe you're here and you don't know where you're going. Maybe you know who you are. But I'm talking about all this eternal stuff, and in your heart, you're not even sure if you believe in heaven. Maybe you do. But you're not even sure if, when you die, you would go to heaven. Can I just ask everyone, would you just do me a favor? Would everyone just close their eyes just for a moment? I just want all eyes closed. I don't know who's in this room. Maybe we all are followers of Christ. But maybe there's one here who's not. And you're sitting here today and you don't know. If you were to die today, you are not confident that you would be with the Lord in heaven. I just want to encourage you today that heaven and eternity are in the balance. And God gives you the opportunity to make a choice. And I just want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you don't know if you were to die today, if you would go to heaven, but you want to, you wish you had that certainty. You've been searching for that certainty. You want to know for certain of your own eternal future. With every eye closed, if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand up or anything, but would you just raise your hand? I want to know if there's anyone in this room that I'm speaking to along those lines. If you're in here and you don't know for certain that if you died, you would go to heaven, would you just raise your hand? I want to know who you are because I want to pray with you afterwards. Is there anyone here? Thank you for raising your hand. You can put it down. Thank you. Is there anyone else? You're here and you want to know for certain that if you were to die, you would be with the Lord in heaven. Just one more minute. Is there anyone else? With every eye closed, the person who raised your hand, would you just look up at me for a minute? The person? Yeah. Thank you. I'd like to see, could I see you afterwards? Could you and I just chat for a moment and I'll share with you how you can know for certain? Would that be all right? Awesome. For the rest of us, I want to pray. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have entrusted each of us, Lord, with so much resource. You've given each of us talents. You've given each of us time. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to view every day in light of eternity. Yes. Lord, from this day forward, I pray that each of us would be even more wise, yes, with how we invest our resources. Lord, in these upcoming days, as we reach out to this school across the street and to our community, God, I pray that every person in this church would be engaged in the endeavor, Lord. Whatever you have put within them to contribute, Lord, I pray that they would contribute it, Lord, whether it be finance, whether it be time, whether it be serving, Lord. I just pray, God, that as a church, that we become even more wise with how we invest our days. Lord, we're certain we only have a few days in comparison to eternity left. And so, God, help us to use these days in wisdom, Lord. Lord, we are a church that wants to be led by you, Holy Spirit. So I'm asking, God, in Jesus' name, that this church will become very sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, out there in the streets, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the prophetic words that you bring us within these walls, Lord. But I pray, God, that the moving of the Holy Spirit within our lives, Lord, would go out these doors today, Lord, and that we would be sensitive to the promptings of you, Holy Spirit, throughout the day. Lord, for us to give an encouraging word or to give an encouraging dollar or to give an encouraging talent or whatever it is that you put on our heart, Lord, I pray, God, use us that we would become much more effective, Lord. And Father, we entrust all that we have and all that we are into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, just a couple of quick questions we're going to dismiss, and this is rhetorical. Everybody know what that means? It means you don't have to raise your hand. I did. You don't have to say anything. Rhetorical is just an inner process. So my question is this, that's rhetorical. It's rhetorical. Did you hear God this morning? I see the hands. Did you hear God this morning? And if you did, if I did, I'm reminded of one question. Are we blessed in the hearing? Or are we blessed in the doing? I don't know how many, I've been a Christian 45 years or longer. I don't know how many messages I've heard. I don't know how many messages I've spoken. But we're blessed in the doing, not the hearing. And so I would encourage us as a church family, what did I hear and what am I going to do? One opportunity is if you go somewhere after church today, can you be gentle? While the waitress is watching you pray over your dinner, oh no, Christians that don't tip. Oh no, Christians that leave me a track for a tip. Or do we have an entire community around us? It's like, I hope they pray over their meal because those people are exceedingly generous. And that's the testimony. Believers are generous. Believers are kind and loving. So it impacts, as Darren said, how we treat waitresses, how we treat our neighbors, how we treat people at work, how we speak about people at work. We're blessed in the doing after we hear. So I would encourage you, if you weren't here last week, I think it was March 26th, maybe you weren't here, I would encourage you, I don't know when it posts as far as online, we have an opportunity to listen to it and remind ourselves, what is God saying to this church? May 5, 2019, we heard Darren. October of 22, we heard Julian Adams. Lord, what are you doing? I'm blessed on this side of my life and the doing and sowing into things outside of a boat, outside of a motorcycle, outside of a second or third or whatever, 19 TVs. Lord, I want to be blessed in the doing. I don't want to just hear and say, what a great message, and then forget. Amen? Amen. So go back and listen. Make some decisions. Maybe you're here this morning and you want somebody to pray with you. We have a prayer team. They will be up front. We want to come forward. We love to pray with you. But here's the thing. We are so blessed. We are so blessed, Lord. I want to invest in what's eternal, and that's people. I want to invest. So I want to go April 12th. At least consider going April 12th. I think it's a Wednesday night. If not, that's okay. Start talking about what are we going to do focused as a church family, as a community? I want to be blessed in the age to come. I don't want to live and die with Confederate money. Amen? So, Father, thank you for this family. Lord, that we would be responsive. No guilt, no shame, no coercion, no manipulation. But, Lord, thank you for what Jesus said. I want to be responsive, and I want to be exceedingly blessed in the age to come and this age. But that's more important forever. Help us, Lord, as a church family to respond and love people, love Jesus, love what he's saying really well. And everyone said, amen. So have an amazing week. Be blessed, be encouraged, and tell somebody you love them before you go. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.